Hello and welcome to the United Uncovered podcast as we go behind the scenes at the Theatre of Dreams. I'm David Stowell from MUTV and today I'm joined by the following Manchester United journalists.
I'm Gemma Thompson from MonUnited.com.
I'm Ben Hibbs.
And Alan Beck from United Review.
Coming up in today's show, we review the Reds' journey in the Champions League as David Moyes' men qualified top of the group. Steve Round speaks to the United Uncovered podcast about his experience in Europe.
I've absolutely loved it, yeah. It is the pinnacle of club football, that's for sure.
We discuss United's fixtures over the festive period. And finally, Fabio and Raphael provide an insight into life in the De Silva household over Christmas.
I think it's hard, you know, because I have a lot of people in our house, you know. Sometimes it's 20, 21, and they can't rest properly, you know.
We start, though, of course, with the news that United have made a hat-trick of wins at Old Trafford in the Champions League and have qualified top of the group as well. Great to see, guys, and ultimately, really, United's stuttering form in the Premier League put to one side in spectacular fashion in Europe this year.
Absolutely, Dave. I mean, I think that was seen, you know, the most in Leverkusen when we sealed qualification. In emphatic form, really. But, yeah, it's been a really positive campaign. It seems like the players, they've known what they've needed to do. They've gone out and done it in Europe. And we've looked really impressive. And people have said we actually had quite an easy group. I don't think it was particularly easy. It was tricky tests. And, yeah, I think he's been able to use quite a few of the players as well in Europe. Some nice combinations that he's played. And we've seen some really good goals as well.
It's interesting to get a victory in the game because a lot of people talking about the lack of confidence, Ben, this season. And I suppose a win and to finish top of the group surely has to then help in the Premier League campaign as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the players have said that they've been perhaps the confidence has taken a bit of a knocking recently. And I think that the only thing you can do in those sort of situations is just get back to winning ways. So I think that was a very important result for us in a lot of ways. It wasn't the best performance, but I think in those situations you don't necessarily produce the best performance, you just get the right result, and I think we have to just keep building on these good results. But yeah, I think it's been a good campaign for us in Europe, really, because we seem to be playing with a lot more freedom in Europe than we have in the Premier League, and I don't know whether there's more pressure or it's just a different type of game domestically. But we just seem to be cut loose a little bit more in Europe, and that's been good to see. So I think we need to transfer that into the league performances.
Yeah, it's been strange, hasn't it, Alan? Because in some of the last few seasons, we've seen United struggle a little bit in Europe and fly away with things in the Premier League, whereas it seems to have been a little bit more the other way around this time.
It was a bit of a strange group all round for me, to be honest. You know, obviously we played very well in Leverkusen and beat them 5-0 in Germany. It's a great result, but I thought Leverkusen were pretty poor actually here and there. They were sort of the anti-United in the group in that they've been brilliant in their domestic form, but very inconsistent in Group A. They turned over Shakhtar 4-0, but shipped 4 and 5 to us. So their performance was quite strange. And from what we saw of them, I thought Shakhtar were much the better team. And yet they've gone out into the Europa League and by a Leverkusen through. So it was a bit of a strange group all round for me.
A bit of a strange feeling last night I felt as well towards the end of the game, because it was almost as if Shakhtar didn't quite realise that they were going out. It didn't feel like that kind of kitchen sink mentality in the last 5 or 10 minutes when you're desperate to have a goal.
No, they didn't. They did. They seemed to run out of steam altogether, really, in the second half. I mean, they're a very fit side, and they're quick, and they break quickly. You saw that in the first half, and they were very much what we saw on their own patch, where they would come in sort of bursts of pressure when you're in possession, and then break very quickly in numbers. But that all just subsided quite meekly and strangely for them in the second half, and United were able to get hold of it.
At quite a high tempo, I think, in the first half.
Yeah.
They sort of took control of the game in the first half. So whether it's just it's a big pitch here, it's, you know, they're going into their winter break now, and, you know, perhaps their minds are on Christmas pie and the Christmas dinner and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was it. But, yeah, they didn't seem to sort of really push for it and put us under pressure, because, you know, I think we played a lot better in the second half, and maybe that was it. Maybe we just controlled it and they weren't able to impress themselves on the game.
Yeah, I think they were, you know, they were always likely to assume that Bayer Leverkusen were going to win against Sociedad. So it must always have been in their minds that they were going to have to win the game, really, realistically. But they didn't. They didn't push all that hard in the last 10 minutes.
I suppose we've all mentioned the highlight being the thrashing of Leverkusen, really, the 5-0 result. I mean, that's, I think Stuart mentioned it in commentary at the time, sort of sends a message around Europe, doesn't it? When you get a result like that against a really informed side, obviously trying to push for that German title, but to win convincingly like that was terrific, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we really did win convincingly. I think, like Alan said, Leverkusen definitely had an off night. But some of the football we produced, and as I said before, the quality of the goals, it did send a message. I think it was just a reminder that, yeah, things haven't been great. We haven't reached the performance level we wanted to. I think everyone knows that. But it is still there, and we can still do it. And I think we saw it that night. We just need to do that on a more consistent basis now.
I wonder if some of our players are perhaps more suited to European football, just within the squad that we've got at the moment. I mean, Giggs probably certainly benefits from the game playing sort of not quite a quick pace. I think we've got Kagawa, who's a very intelligent footballer, and it's all about sort of possession and space in Europe. And I think we've got Januzaj as well, who's come in. Maybe those sort of players are better suited to playing in European football than they are in the Premier League. I think sometimes in the league we look at it and we think we perhaps miss a little bit of bite in midfield. We're hoping that Fellaini is perhaps going to come in and be that player for us in midfield, but we've kind of missed that in the league. So maybe we're just a little bit better suited to European football this season.
I think it's also representative of the peaks and troughs of that United have gone through this season. I think it's not that the team are playing badly consistently. It's that we're playing badly and well, sometimes in the same game, as we saw last night. So there are games when all of that seems to click together and everybody's hitting a bit of a peak of performance at the same time. And I think you certainly saw that in that Leverkusen game, where Kagawa had his best game of the campaign, Giggs had his best game, Jones had his best game. Suddenly everybody, you know, Nani scored a wonder goal. You know, there were all of those little things just seemed to kind of knit together in that singular performance, which is important because it shows people, you know, it shows the players and it shows the manager and it shows the fans that these players haven't turned into bad players overnight. They're still the squad that won the title, and it's not, there's not a huge mountain to climb to get back to those kind of levels of performance, I don't know.
I think we're going to see that throughout the season. I mean, you know, hopefully you're going to reach some level of consistency, but I think we're going to have spells where we're doing really well and playing really well, but then we're also going to hit a couple of games where we don't. And I think that's just natural with bringing a new manager in, and he's trying to work out what his best team are, he's working out what the players are like. I think that's just a natural thing. Unfortunately, this season we'll just have to get through, really.
Many of the usual suspects through in the Champions League, the likes of Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, Arsenal, Chelsea, City. So it's been a great year for English clubs. Just briefly, I mean, who do you want to avoid in the next round? Because I know that, so you can't play a club from your country, you can't play a club from your group, but there are various teams there who you just wouldn't want to mess with.
Yeah, I think the obvious ones are there, but to be honest, cliche, isn't it? But every game is difficult, and we ended up with Real Madrid last year, and but for a terrible decision against us, probably would have got through. So I just think I like it when we get to, I think we know how to play the two-legged ties as well. I think we're good at those. It's good we've got the fact that the second game is at home. I'd be confident against the form we've shown in Europe this season. I'd be confident against anybody, to be honest. But obviously avoid the big guns. But
sometimes in Europe you want the big teams, don't you? Because you want those sort of big European ties. But I wonder this season, just with a little bit of sort of instability and the manager sort of trying to get used to a new club, I wonder if, you know, as many winnable games that we can have, or, you know, favourable ties, I think that'll work in our advantage. Because I think the further we go on in the competition, we mentioned before about confidence amongst the players, I think that could really, really help us. You know, I think we talked last season about beating Real Madrid and what would that do for confidence? So I think if we can get a step further on in the competition and beat some decent teams maybe, then I think that will definitely boost all the players.
Well, we've certainly all enjoyed the European campaign so far. So has Steve Round, and he's been talking to us about the campaign so far.
I've absolutely loved it, yeah. It is the pinnacle of club football, that's for sure. And you're pitting your wits against top coaches from different cultures, different styles. It's been fascinating to watch and watch it evolve. And I've been very, very impressed with the team's adaptability towards that. The mentality of the players, you know, we've got players here who have got great Champions League experience, who have won the Champions League, who have played in finals, who have been in semi-finals and played in it on a regular basis. And they understand the transition, what's needed, and the different styles and the different ways of playing in Europe to the Premier League. That's been very interesting to watch and very impressive, actually. The team know how to win in Europe. And for me personally, it's a great experience. I'm really enjoying that aspect and that side of it.
One player, though, Wayne Rooney, has played a lot of the games and he seems to absolutely relish playing the games. Do you have to think, well, we're going to have to, at some point, he's going to have to drop out for a game or two, or is he just the sort of guy who just is so infectious, he almost has to play all of these games?
He's terrific, he really is. He just loves football. And for any young player who is aspiring to become a top professional, you've only got to look at Wayne, because really it's the love of the game that gets you to the top. It's not the material stuff, you know, money and fame and fortune, that comes with it, that goes with the territory. You know, you don't chase that. It's the love of the game that actually makes you a top player, makes you the best player in the world. And you look at Wayne and he is totally infectious. He loves playing football. He's first out on the training ground, he's last in every day. He's banging balls against the goal every day and everybody else has gone in and he's still out there. He just loves it. And while he's loving it and while he's playing well, you know, crack on and continue. In the future, there might be the odd game that we have to say, oh, this is the time we just rest him off and give him a breather. But at the minute, while he's playing this well and full of energy, we just wind him up and let him go.
So Steve Round's thoughts there, and he mentions Wayne Rooney. And in fact, he's not the only person to praise Wayne in the last few days. Robin van Persie's also talked about their partnership this week and about how it's developing and how they've sort of got this sixth sense, if you like, about where each one is on the pitch. I mean, this could be an absolutely terrific partnership, couldn't it? We've seen so many down the years, the likes of Cole and York, Alan.
Yes. I suppose it feels a little bit premature to be invoking the treble winners where we are at the moment. But certainly, you know, there are two best attacking players, and they do knit together well. It's been problematic a little bit this season. They haven't had a good run together to be able to really develop their partnership. But we saw plenty of it. Saw plenty of it last year. It's interesting that I think a lot of people think of Wayne as maybe a purely instinctive striker, but it was instructive after Robin van Persie's goal against Aston Villa that he mentioned after the game that they'd kind of spoken about that beforehand. You know, look out for this ball that I'm going to give you. So it's maybe not necessarily just an instinctive way of working together, but they are able to maybe just set plans in place for particular moves and particular opposition. So there's certainly room for it to blossom in a number of ways, I think.
I think they're probably two of the most complete individuals we've had as a pairing for quite some time. I mean, I think if you look at Van Nistelrooy and what his sort of good seasons were with Solskjaer and Scholes, and they were both sort of very different players but playing specific roles. Even York and Cole, I think they were sort of York, you know, he could create as well, but I think generally they were out and out strikers. But these two, Robin sort of, he's got this nice term, the nine and a half, you know, the cross between the nine and the ten. And I think they're both like that in a lot of ways, and I think they can both sort of play those roles. So I think it's interesting to have them both playing together, because one can go up top and the other one can drop, and they can switch around. So I think that's a real advantage for us.
It's interesting that they both bring sort of different things to the table, but as Ben mentions, there are similarities as well. I mean, I suppose it's notable that when Robin's been injured, Wayne's played in the Robin position, if you like, and Shinji's come in and played in Wayne's spot, isn't it? So, I mean, it just shows that, as Ben's saying, they can be nines and tens, and obviously we've seen Wayne out wide as well, haven't we? And Robin started as a winger. So it's fascinating to see that versatility working as well.
Yeah, and like Ben said, it helps make them the complete players they are. I think they both appreciate the qualities each have, and that actually they're very good players on their own, but working together, they can be lethal. And I think even when the team sheet comes out and you see those two on the pitch, I think automatically that lifts everybody and probably frightens the opposition, even just seeing their names out there, and that's without them even playing. But I think, as Alan said, it just been a bit disappointing that we've not seen the two of them together as much as we would have liked this season, but it's down to injuries and various things. But as I think David Moyes said a few weeks ago, he'd have them above anybody, and you can see why. They definitely have the potential to be one of United's best strike force ever.
And I hope they have a good Christmas as well, because it's a busy time, isn't it? And I suppose Christmas generally is a busy time for football. It's quite difficult as well to sort of juggle the family celebrations, perhaps, with the football. And let's actually hear from a couple of our first teamers now. Fabio and Rafael are talking about Christmas in the Da Silva household.
It's always time for family, you know, and my mum and dad, they come here and in our house to enjoy Christmas with us, and it's Christmas always family.
Yeah, it's every single year is about family. We always come to my parents come, and my wife's parents come, so it's everyone, you know, together, so it's a very good
22
time.
In the house.
That sounds busy. I guess it's great fun and real family time. How much do you enjoy that time?
I enjoy a lot, you know, because I'm very Catholic as well, so, you know, it's time to be with the family, like I said, and enjoy maximum.
Is there any difference between an English Christmas and a Brazilian Christmas?
In Brazil, you celebrate on 24 at night. No, it's midnight.
Midnight.
To change here is 25. You know, you normally celebrate. So that's it's different.
Yes. You celebrate at midnight.
Yes, midnight.
Which way do you prefer?
I prefer my way because we used to that. So.
Okay. So how will you spend this Christmas?
I think we do like the same we do every year. You know, 24. Our family go there, friends, and do a big meal and enjoy the night.
Gifts and everything.
Yeah, everything.
What will be the meal? What's your traditional Christmas dinner?
It's the same. It's the same here, you know, turkey and some Brazilian food, of course. But it's the main menu is the same.
It's quite similar.
Yeah, do you have to watch what you eat, given there's a game next, or you can't have loads and loads of Christmas dinner, can you?
Exactly, you have to do that, you have to be careful, take care of yourself, because you have a game in 26, so it's more for the traditional, you know, like the culture, so it's good to do that.
And what's the worst and best Christmas presents you've bought each other?
I tell you the truth, we not bought the presents for each other.
Just for the friends, for the parents,
family,
for each other.
Why not? That's the best part of Christmas, giving to each other, no?
Not for because it's
true,
man. Yeah, it's funny you say that, but
we never give gift to
each other.
We're so close, and we not. Yeah. I don't know why.
Just for
why.
The parents and for the friends.
Yeah, such a big family.
What's it going to be like training on Christmas Day?
I get used to that, but the first year here, I feel strange, so strange, because, you know, in Brazil, when I was there, we have like holidays in this time, so it's so different, but I think now I'm used to that.
And it's a really busy period for you guys, isn't it, Christmas? How is it preparing for all the games? How do you do it?
I think it's hard, you know, because I have a lot of people in our house, you know. Sometimes it's 20, 21, and they can rest properly, you know. But it's just this time of the year, so it's Christmas, have a new year, so you have just to control.
Have to deal with that, you know.
Have to sit.
Take care of your body and food. Have a good sleep when you can. That's it.
Well, great to get an insight into what Christmas is like with the Da Silva twins there. Obviously, it's very busy in their household. Is it sort of similar in your household over Christmas, Alan?
Well, I'm hosting Christmas for the first time this year, so I'm going to have 13 people, so I'm terrified.
Normally for me, it's just having a few drinks and enjoying the food that somebody else cooks, so it's all right for me, it's quite relaxed.
The lazy approach, I like that. Jem?
I'm even lazier. We go out for Christmas lunch, so a restaurant cooks it.
Superb, there we go. It is, though, busy, isn't it, Christmas for everybody, particularly on the football pitch. 4 games in 10 days for United, and that's when you really need a squad, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for footballers, I think they don't have this, perhaps the same view as, of Christmas as we do, because it's just part of their job. You know, they're probably used to training on Christmas Day and, you know, and Christmas Eve, and you know, they don't really get much of a Christmas. So, you know, but I think we will have to utilise that squad over the course of the season. I think that's something that David Moyes has done quite a bit already so far this season, so that could work in our favour. We've had a lot of players who've had games and played plenty of football, so he will have to sort of switch it around, and that's probably might be something new for him as well, because I think at Everton he had a much smaller squad and he'd been working with, you know, far fewer players, so that's something he's going to have to get used to.
I always wondered what the players actually do think when there's loads and loads of games, because you do think, oh, you know, it must be quite tiring. But talking to Patrice Evra the other week, and he was saying he absolutely loves it. Like, he was passionately saying he loves Christmas period because so many points up for grabs. But he said it's just more that it's just football, football, football all the time. You know, when you're not playing a game, you're resting, preparing for the next one. And I think they almost get a buzz out of that. And I think, like Ben says, it's a chance for everybody to be involved.
And it could be crucial, couldn't it, this Christmas period? Because with games coming so quickly off the back of one another, it's a real chance to make up lost ground, isn't it? A few injuries for some teams and their form can drop, yours can pick up, and it can totally change the league table.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many points up for grabs, and the season moves on so quickly at Christmas. I mean, obviously, you've got to have a strong Christmas, and United traditionally have done that. You know, it remains to be seen that the games do look fairly winnable. So, you know, we do need to have a strong Christmas period, and you know, other teams are dropping points. While we've been, you know, admittedly we've lost two games at home that we would have hoped to have won to stay in touch with that top four, but it's not as if there's one team that's zooming off into the distance in the way that, say, Mourinho's Chelsea did in 2004-05. You know, Arsenal drew, Chelsea lost, City drew, you know, Liverpool were the big winners last weekend. But everybody's capable of dropping points, and nobody's showing a real consistency. Arsenal obviously are being more consistent than everybody else, but they're not unbeatable because we beat them and Everton drew with them. And so it's a real mix of abilities in the teams, I think.
You could see a big swing over Christmas, I think, of, you know, of points. And I think that, you know, people looking at Arsenal and perhaps the gap between us and Arsenal, you know, I think that could dramatically be reduced over Christmas. All we just need to do is go on a run, put them under some pressure and see how they cope with it.
Fascinating Christmas period ahead, no doubt. That's it, though, from the United Uncovered podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it with us today. Thanks to Gemma, thanks to Ben, thanks to Alan as well. We will see you soon on the United Uncovered podcast. Bye-bye for now.